This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hall & Wilcox Private Clients podcast series about succession challenges for blended families. My name is Janine Bonn, and I'm a special counsel in the Hall & Wilcox Private Clients team. I'm very pleased to be joined today by my colleague, Claire Hawke-Gundle, who is also a special counsel with our team.
As Janine and I are talking to you from Perth, we wish to acknowledge the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, the traditional custodians of the land on which we are speaking. We recognise their continuing connection to the land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all First Nations people joining us.
So today, Claire and I are going to be discussing the effect of de facto relationships, marriage, separation and divorce on succession planning. So as you can imagine, there are many legal implications and considerations when entering into de facto relationship, marrying, separating or divorcing. And Claire and I are going to explore some of the legal aspects and issues and outline some of the implications and actions that a person should consider if they find themselves either entering a de facto relationship, marrying, separating, or divorcing. So to start with, some of the legal implications of a change of relationship status can include, so marriage and divorce will revoke a will unless the will is made in contemplation of that marriage or divorce. One of the ways that you can ensure that the will is made in contemplation of divorce or marriage is by putting a special clause in your will. Otherwise, to make sure that the will is valid after you have married or divorced, you've either got to make a new will or you need to show evidence of the contemplation of the marriage or divorce at the time when you made the will. So this is where legal advice should be obtained. So entering a de facto relationship or separating from a person, on the other hand, does not revoke or change a will, but this may affect a person's legal rights. Also to note that enduring powers of attorney, enduring powers of guardianship, binding death benefit nominations, and advance health directives are not affected by marriage, divorce, de facto relationships or separation. So don't expect if you're changing your relationship status that these documents are going to change. They're still going to be in place after those events have occurred. So Claire, if you are considering living with someone or getting married, what legal advice should you seek and what documents should you consider putting in place?
Thanks, Janine. That's a good question. I guess it's great if you're in this situation, you've got this new person in your life that you love and that you want to further a joint life together. So things are happy and rosy. And what that means is you're going to need to reconsider whatever estate planning you've put in place previously and think, well, how do I want to change it to factor into this new person? As Janine, you just mentioned, if you're marrying a person and you haven't expressly contemplated the marriage in any existing will, then you should absolutely be doing a new will after you get married to make sure that you provide for that person. The other thing that you want to contemplate, and particularly if it's a blended family scenario, and so you might have children that you've had from a previous marriage, or you might have already acquired quite a bit of wealth that you want to make sure remains protected from this new relationship. What you should do in that circumstance is consider preparing a binding financial agreement and obtain asset protection advice to make sure that you can enter into this new relationship with a plan and an agreement with the new person for how you want it to look at the end of the relationship when you pass away. The other thing that's really important to note, and I think as society changes, getting married is often not the point in time when we're redoing our estate planning. These days, it's probably more becoming a de facto partner with someone. So living with them on a long-term basis and doing that is going to change your objectives and who you might want to leave things to. I think it's really important, particularly for people in a new de facto relationship and when they're young, to make sure that they do their death benefit nominations for superannuation. Because you can end up in a situation where if you don't do a death benefit nomination and you don't sit down and write who you would like your superannuation entitlements to go to in the event of your death, you can end up accidentally having it go to your new de facto partner because you've got that new relationship together and you're dependent with each other. And sometimes it's often the case in a new relationship that you might not actually intend for that person to receive those benefits yet, particularly with young people. You might find they've got a really big life insurance attached to their super. It might be their biggest asset. And if they haven't done a death benefit nomination and they pass away suddenly and unexpectedly, the superannuation fund might decide to pay it to their new de facto, even though had the person not died, they might not have yet been ready to give it to their new de facto partner. That might come later on. And that's another really important point to note is you should do these documents when you move in with someone or you get married, but it's not a set and forget scenario. You need to keep reviewing them regularly. And I say as a rule of thumb, read through your documents every 2 to 3 years to make sure that it sounds right to you. Because as your relationship progresses and things happen, you might have children together, for example, your wishes might change and you might decide, well, when I first moved in with them, I didn't want to leave them my superannuation. But now we have these joint assets and joint liabilities together, and we have a child and joint dependents, then I actually now do need to change things to leave my assets to that person. Janine, what if things aren't going rosy anymore and the relationship isn't working well and you're thinking about maybe separating or divorcing even if you have married? What do you recommend clients to do in that instance?
So one of the things to note with separation, it's a bit hard talking about separation when you've just been talking about, you know, starting a relationship and entering de facto relationship and getting married, but, you know, separation and things don't always work out. So if you are contemplating separation, it is a good idea to get some legal advice, because depending on whether you've been married or in a de facto relationship, there are different rights and obligations that can still attach depending on what relationship you're coming out of or contemplating ending. For example, if a de facto couple separates, depending on the time when they actually separated, this can affect their legal rights to make a claim against their ex-partner's superannuation, because there are rules in place as to the timing of when you, from the time when you separate as to the time when you can still make a claim against the superannuation. You have certain timing issues as to when you can bring an action for property settlement to sort out or divide the property between you through the family court. And also making a claim against an ex-partner's deceased estate. So that all depends on when you actually separated and when your partner has passed away as to whether you would still have a claim against their estate. So that has some really serious issues and can really affect a person's right as to whether they can lay claim to those assets of their ex-partner. If a married couple separates, however, regardless of the timing of separation, they can still make a claim against their ex-partner's superannuation. They can also go through family court property settlement, and they can also claim against their ex-spouse's deceased estate, regardless of the time when they separated. So, and that's pretty much the same in all states. So it really depends on what their relationship status is. Also, a separating or separated person really needs to have a good look at their will, because obviously if you're not in a relationship with someone, you may not want to still leave all your assets or a good portion of your assets to them on your passing. So if you are married and you're contemplating divorce after your separation, and you go and prepare a new will, it's a very good idea to include a contemplation of divorce clause in that new will. So on the divorce, your current will is not revoked or cancelled by the effect of that divorce. So other documents such as enduring powers of attorney, enduring powers of guardianship, advance health directive aren't affected by separation or divorce, as I've mentioned before. But you may not well want your previous partner to be making your financial and property decisions or your health decisions or lifestyle decisions after you've separated. You might have separated because you just don't get on anymore, and they're the last person that you'd actually want to have making those important decisions for you if you were in a situation where you couldn't do those for yourself. Also, superannuation and death benefit nominations are really important because they're not necessarily going to be affected by divorce or marriage, or even just separation. So it's a really good idea, like Claire was saying, in terms of entering a relationship, if you're leaving a relationship or have left a relationship, have a really good look through the superannuation death benefit nominations, because you really don't want your super going to the person you'd last want them or least want to have them in that situation. Other documents that need to be looked at are your trust and self-managed super fund trust deeds to make sure that if you have separated or are separating, check what involvement or powers your ex-partner or estranged partner might have in those structures or in those documents. And there might be some actions that you need to take place. But just be aware, if you are going through family court proceedings, it's a very good idea to get some family law advice, because making certain changes to trust and super documents or just actions regarding super and trusts may have some serious consequences, or the family court may be able to unwind those actions. So again, just get some really good advice. So Claire, what about when a couple divorces? So I've mentioned a little bit about when a couple divorces, but what happens then, and what documents would you look to update in addition to what I've sort of mentioned, or maybe touch on in a little bit more detail some of the documents that need to be prepared or reviewed?
Thanks, Janine. I guess it's going to depend on what the divorced party did at the separation. So hopefully they took your advice that you just set out about what to do when you're separating, and they've made new documents and there's no mention of the ex in those new documents. So we don't need to update the documents simply to exclude the person that they're not friendly with anymore. If they didn't take your advice and didn't do anything during the separation, then in the event of divorce, you definitely want to go and do a whole set of new documents, new wills, enduring power of attorney, guardianship and death benefit nomination, so that you're nice and fresh and you can look to the future and name the people who are in your life now in those new documents. But sometimes, even if you did do, say, a will or an enduring power of attorney when you were separating, so you've removed that person, sometimes there's a need to refresh it after the act of divorce, because your assets might have changed quite a lot after the family court settlement's gone through. For example, it might be a scenario where you're the wife or were the wife, and everything was in your husband's name. So the will that we did for you during the separation might not have dealt with the assets that you have acquired or are about to acquire through that family law settlement, the things that are coming to you from your husband. So it's really important to refresh your documents at that point in time, once you know what your financial position looks like, to make sure that your documents deal with those things appropriately. You might also have some jobs to do with your family trust, depending on what the family court decided to do with that kind of asset. So there might be variations required to your family trust, depending on how those things were split by the family court settlement. You also might have a new entity that was established to hold these new assets resulting from the divorce that needs to be factored in to your new estate plan. So it's really fundamental that you sit down and make sure that all the new things and the new lay of land is covered by your plan. The other thing to be really careful with is, now that you've stepped away from that relationship and you're on a future path, yourself, is to make sure that things are held in an appropriate way for asset protection perspective. If you've just stepped away from a divorce, the last thing you want to be doing usually is ending up in another family court scenario. And so usually it's very fresh in the mind, and asset protection is really important to try and preserve that wealth that you've just fought for. So that's another thing that you can get advice at that point in time is asset protection, to make sure that what you're receiving from the divorce is held in the best possible way for your circumstances. The other thing, I guess, Janine, is we're talking about blended families through this series generally. What if you've got children that you want to deal with, either children of the relationship or former relationship, and how do they fit in this whole conversation with marriage and divorce, and how do people cater for them?
So I think that's where an experienced estate planner really needs to have a good look at the documentation that you're needing to put in place, because it can be tricky. I mean, often we're seeing clients who've got not always just one, for a bit of word, set of children from previous relationship. Sometimes we've got clients who've been married two or three times and they've got children from those different relationships, and they might also have stepchildren who, depending on their feeling of responsibility or the situation, even though the relationship with that partner has ended, the partner's children, so the stepchildren, might figure quite predominantly in the client's life. And so what the client might be wanting to put some provisions in place or make sure that the not only their own children, but their stepchildren are provided for, either while the relationship with the stepchildren's partner is on foot or even after the relationship has ended. And so that's where people need to carefully look at their will and look at and discuss and consider what is adequate provision for all those, the children and even the stepchildren, and also what form that provision is going to take, or where is that provision going to come from? Is it going to come from your estate? Is it going to come from assets or income from assets that are held in a trust, in some sort of trust, discretionary trust, fixed trust, or is it going to come from superannuation? And there are some quite a few considerations and also some legal implications, and also a few steps that you need to take to make sure that your wishes are going to be covered as far as providing for the children and or stepchildren. Another consideration is guardianship of minor children. And you can appoint guardians of your minor children or children under the age of 18 through your will, in particular through the Western Australian Wills Act and possibly through other legislation throughout Australia. But certainly because we're in Western Australia, we deal with the Western Australian Wills Act. The appointment of guardians under your will is still subject to the jurisdiction of the family court, but certainly one of the things to consider is who's going to be the guardian of your children. And in the event of separation from the child's biological parent, other parent, this can be a bit tricky sometimes if you don't particularly want that partner being the guardian of your children in the event of your death. So that's where some particular advice needs to be sought around that. There also can be some child support arrangements, family court orders regarding children that will affect your estate planning. So these need to be taken into consideration. And also be aware that there's an act in Western Australia and equivalent legislation around Australia, in WA it's called the Family Vision Act, that allows children and in some situations stepchildren to bring a claim against your estate if adequate provision has not been provided for them from your estate. And again, so if you do have children, you're separated from their partner, or you've got stepchildren, you should really go and get some good legal advice around how best to cater for those children or stepchildren and to ensure that your wishes will be followed as best as possible. So just on the subject of specialist advice, Claire, can you perhaps give a bit more of an idea of the sort of advice that people should be seeking, not only from lawyers, but perhaps from other professionals?
Yes, Janine, it's really important along this whole way to seek specialist advice when you're making decisions about your estate planning and decisions about your asset protection, and even decisions about how you might split your assets in the event of a divorce, you should be considering legal advice, accounting and tax advice, and also financial advice for all of these different scenarios. We see quite a few people who try to do it themselves and save a little bit of money in the beginning by doing it themselves. But unfortunately, you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of the time, avoiding specialist advice results in more money being spent later on, or sometimes lost opportunity. So for example, you might be deciding how to divide your estate between a range of different people. It might be your current partner, the children you share together, and the children from your previous relationship. And you've got to pick which asset you'd like to use to make provision for your current partner. And there's going to be tax implications sometimes with using different assets for that sort of gift. And so you want to make sure that you preserve your wealth as much as you can to pass on to the people that you love, and you make good choices about how to structure your estate plan. And that's where going to specialists will make sure that you make the best decisions around that. And the other thing that's really good is usually one specialist will know other really good specialists, so you don't need to research around too much. I know personally we have relationships with other specialists in different areas if it's something that we personally can't give advice on, like financial advice, for example. So that can be really handy if you've got a team that works well together to help you make the right decisions.
Thanks, Claire. They're really handy tips, and I think everyone should not worry so much about just saving a few pennies, but just make sure you do go out and get some good advice. Well, they say a stitch in time saves nine. So that pretty much wraps up our discussion today. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. It's been great to have you join us for our podcast. As this is the final episode in the Hall & Wilcox Private Clients podcast series about succession challenges for blended families, I'd like to thank you all for joining us, and we hope you've enjoyed the series. We'd be really pleased for you to get in touch with us if you do have any questions or queries or want some further information about any of the topics that we've covered in our podcast series. You can find our details on our website, which is www.hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us or Hall & Wilcox on LinkedIn. And if you have enjoyed today's episode, then please rate, review, or follow our podcasts wherever you get them. Thank you very much for listening.